Hey everybody, it's Michelle. I am here to talk to you about our Patreon page. This is the page that you can go to help support our podcast with a monthly donation. When you commit to supporting us, you can get additional bonus content such as extra podcasts, our favorite playlists, our show notes, and eventually we would like to have merchandise to sell like t-shirts and baseball caps, and we would let you have first dibs at those. Of course, because we are coffee moms, we are offering membership levels that are as follows: the coffee membership, the cold brew membership, or the espresso membership. Now, no pressure whatsoever, but if you do love our podcast and you would like to help support it, you can go to patreon.com/messybunmamaspodcast. That is Patreon, patreon.com/messybunmamaspodcast. There you can choose a membership level that works for you. Melissa and I want to thank you in advance for your love and your support.
Messy Bun Mamas. I'm Joe.
I'm John.
I am Malcolm.
Hello.
Hey, hey, everybody.
I'm Melissa.
I'm Michelle.
And this is the Messy Bun Mamas podcast. Today, we are talking about weird pregnancy side effects that nobody ever told you about. I got a bunch of them. Don't worry.
Right?
I got some good nuggets for you. But before we get into that, my moment of the week.
I'm so excited / disappointed to tell mine, but if you want to go first, you can.
I will go ahead.
Okay.
Okay. So my mom moment this week is school's wrapping up. John was in first grade this year. And the other day I asked him, I was like, are you going to miss your friends? And he goes, yeah. And he like looks up at the sky and he goes, you know, Ba, today I was thinking really hard about the fact that school's going to be over soon. And tears just began to fill my eyes because I was just so sad that never again was I going to be in a class with these same kids. Because every year I have new kids in my class, I'm never going to be in this room with these kids ever again.
I need you to be a 7-year-old, John.
And I'm just like on the other side of the gate and I was like, oh yeah. I'm sure somebody somewhere is like, you should really like harness the like emotional blah blah. And I'm just like, bro.
This is how I feel like conversations between you and I are like, though, because I'm like telling you something emotional and you're like, uh-huh. Which I'm not offended by. I understand that. I have a lot of emotions in me.
That's why I think he's a 4, though.
Yeah.
Like, he's for sure a 4. And I'm not.
Oh, no. When you tell me stories of things that he says and does, I'm just like, both of your kids, I feel, are like my spirit kids. Because Malcolm, if I can trip over nothing, I will. And that's Malcolm. And then John is just like, feels all the emotions. And I'm like, come with me, son. Son that should have been mine. Come with me.
So my, yeah, I don't know. I just don't, I'm not a good, like, I'm a great listener. Mm-hmm. I will listen for as long as somebody needs to talk or vent or whatever. But when it comes to like emotional responses, I do struggle a lot because I'm just like, I'm listening, I'm hearing what you're saying, I'm processing it, and I will remember it if you ever want to come back to this topic.
Right.
But I'm not a big, like, responsive crier or, like,
yeah. You know,
I mean, I'll talk smack about somebody. I can do that. Right. I drop them a hat. But, like, I'm not good with the emotions.
You give good feedback and advice as well, which makes it, that part of you is really good because you can tell you're not giving an emotional response.
Yeah.
So,
but when my son is just dripping with all the emotions,
yes, I'm just like, right. Gosh. Just dial my number.
You need to call Michelle. Let's call Michelle. She'll give you what you need right now. So, no, my mom moment this week is just, like, as much as I, like, say whatever, I do think that John is going to have, like, a special... He's just going to be like a special kid.
He's just, absolutely. He's going to be a special person. I mean, just
he's going.
I say that about all of our kids, though, just because I think it's just because I get to see them growing and see the personality and potentials. I really believe that this generation that we're raising has such potential to change the world.
Right.
And we need the Johns that feel and understand and can empathize and
tear up about their first grade class being over. not because he's gonna miss his friends. Like, that wasn't even what it was about.
It's just next year's not gonna be the same as
I'm never gonna be in the same room with all these people at the same time ever again in my life.
Can I tell you something? When I hear that, I'm like, that's a lot of drama. But the other part of me is like, you know, you would say the same thing. Like, there's times when I walk into church now and I think, I don't like this because church isn't the way it is when I first walked into the doors of our church.
Yeah.
13 years ago.
Yeah.
So I totally get what he's saying. But there is the other part of me, probably my wing, the three or the five or something that I bounce off to is like, that's a lot of drama. Which is what I say to myself when I'm being over emotional. You're being a lot of drama right now, Michelle. It doesn't stop me, though.
Yeah. It wouldn't stop John either. That's kind of dramatic. I mean, he obviously doesn't care because I'm on the other side of the room, just like, uh-huh.
And he's still going on. Do you know, it is sweet that he recognizes that, though. And I think you've said that he will, like, write notes and draw pictures for his classmates and drop them off at his, so he just recognizes what other people mean to him, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, all right, are you ready for my mom, my therapy moment for the week? Oh my god. So Joe has been into this phase of wanting to go, this is not a good mom moment, by the way, this is a I'm somehow failing at being a mom moment.
I'm sure you're fine.
He has decided that going home with other people is cool. Now, what is bad about this is that he decides to go home with other people and fails to tell me what he's doing. Like, he just, at church, as I've mentioned in other shows, I've really been trying to not be like the helicopter mom, mm-hmm. And give him his space to grow and learn and test his boundaries. But twice now at church has tried to climb into somebody else's car and go home. Now, it's not like some stranger. He's playing with their kids and he just wants to continue the fun. So he's like, you know,
I'm gonna come home.
Right. Deuces, everybody. There. We're going here. And then one day when we were at the park with friends, he was gonna try to get home, get into one of his friends' cars and leave. And there was like no recognition in him at all that I need to talk to mom about this. Just runs off and does it. And excuse me. And so we have been struggling. Dan and I last week Sunday sat down with him. We're struggling with the balance of having the conversation with him of you can't trust everyone.
Yeah.
But we don't want to scare him to the point where he's not Joe. Because Joe, he is a good, friendly, sociable kid, unlike his dad or myself. And so we're like, we don't want to
terrify him.
Yeah, we don't want to crush that, but at the same time, I need you to have some type of
stranger danger.
Right. And so we had the conversation with him, and it was a very gentle but forward conversation of, you have to be careful because if mommy can't see you, or if you can't see mommy, mommy can't see you, and not everyone is kind, there could be somebody who wants to steal you, and they would steal you and they would possibly hurt you. And then mommy and daddy would never have you again. And he's like, and Joe's like, okay. Well, we went to the splash pad
Thursday. How long after we had this conversation?
So that was Sunday night that we had this conversation. Okay. And on Tuesday the day they opened the splash pad early. So the village next to us opened up their splash pad a few days early. So we went, and the splash pad is set up. So, and there's a park there. So there's a big building in the middle, and the splash pad wraps around one half of the building, mm-hmm. but it wraps around the corner. And then on the front side of the building is this really big park. Okay. And so we were sitting at the very far end of the corner of the splash pad. So like we couldn't see around the corner to the park. Joe was playing with some friends because some friends showed up and were there, and they were sitting there playing. And I was talking and keeping an eye. And I just need to stop thinking things this week because some other things came true. I was like, he's doing such a good job of making sure he's staying within my eyesight, blah, blah, blah. I turned to talk to my friend because she was telling me about something that she had done. And I turned back and I didn't see him. And I said to my friend's husband, hey, can you see Joe from your vantage point? And he's like, no. So I went running around to the front of the park. And of course the park is packed out because it's nice out.
Yeah.
And so it was.
And everybody's ready to get back to normal.
Right. I mean, it was packed. And of course I'm already starting to panic a little because I'm like, this kid is sociable. He'll talk to anybody. He'll literally walk up and talk to anybody about anything. If somebody's willing to listen to him, he'll talk to them. Mm-hmm. And so I immediately go into panic mode, which I know prevents me then from like really seeing with my eyes. But I like walked through the whole park area, and I was trying not to like do the whole screaming like a maniac thing. Like, Joe! So I'm just like, Joe. I didn't see him on my first round. Now, it could be very well be that I passed him and he heard me calling him, but that kid is so oblivious.
He is super oblivious.
He's very oblivious that he just didn't even see me. So that's part of my other problem is like he doesn't understand.
You can call him, he'll be 5 feet away from you, and he just won't even acknowledge you.
Yeah, it's not like he's ignoring either. He's caught up in whatever he's doing, and so he's just, God help me. So I went back, and on my way back, I was checking the bathrooms because he had been playing with some older kids. And, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying anybody does anything. I have a head full of things that could always happen in my head going on. So I'm checking the bathrooms. He's not there. I get back to my friends. I'm like, did he come back? And they're like, no. So Rochelle comes running around one side of the building while I go running around the other side. And,
okay, I'm glad that you clarified that because the way that you were telling the story, it sounded like you're frantically searching for your kid, and the friends that you're with are just like sitting there chilling out.
Oh
their
no,
lawn chairs.
I think they were waiting.
It's just like
I think they were waiting to see if I would find him first.
Yeah.
So I went. So she comes running around with me, and she sees him first.
Okay.
And so, I go over to him. And I'm like, Joe. And like, he looks at me, he sees me, but then he turns and keeps playing with these other kids. Again, just oblivious to like the whole panic he has.
Yeah, see, I am melting down.
Right. Like, I'm ready to die right now. And you're just like, oh, there's my mom. Yeah. So I grab him by his arm and I'm trying to be gentle because I know that there's tons of people around and I don't want any, and you know, the police like to park in the parking lot across the streets, which is not a bad thing. We actually enjoy that.
I was going to say, I mean, that's really good on
and so I'm like, I don't, I don't want anybody to think I'm abusing him. Yeah. So I, I was just like, well, because I said, I don't want people to think I'm abusing him. I'm trying to like gently, and I'm like trying to get him to focus on me. And I'm like, you really scared mommy. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Are you? And so, as I'm talking to him, because I can just see the lack of understanding in him, my voice is like starting to go up levels and octaves. And by the time I'm done, I'm like shouting and screaming at him about how he ran away and I couldn't see him. And what if somebody stole him? And
you just had this conversation.
Yeah. I'm like, we just had this conversation. So again, because I don't want to see anybody, I didn't want the whole world to see me beat him. We walked to the other end of the building where there were a lot fewer people, most of them my friends. And I took him by his arm again. And I said, now, mommy's going to spank you. And do you know why? And like, he repeated everything back to me, Melissa.
That you and Dan said to him?
Yeah. He's like, mommy and daddy want me to see. I mean, every bit of it, he repeated back to me.
That's almost worse.
And so then I'm like, exactly. That's why mommy's going to spank you right now. And I spanked him. And he looked like he wanted to cry. But then his friend Henry walked by. And instead of crying, he goes, okay, can I go now? Melissa, I'm so frustrated. I'm like, oh my God, somebody's going to steal my son. And I don't know what to do. So if there's anybody listening that has great advice on how to like scare your kid without scaring your kid,
I think that you need to, if he continues to do it, you need to take him home. Be like, we're not going to go anywhere.
I honestly feel like that's, but then I'm like, but then you're killing my social time.
I don't disagree with you.
And so, but I told Dan that when, I
don't tell Dan that, because Dan will be all like, yes!
Yeah, well, he's,
you go nowhere.
You go nowhere. That's probably what he was thinking. But he did share some humor with me, because I was sending him messages. I was sitting in the car like seething, sending him messages. And
you'll never guess what your son did.
Right. And he's kind of frustrated with it too, because he says the same thing. He's like, you don't want him to be scared of everybody, but at the same time, come on.
Well,
but Dan did recommend maybe a shock collar for him. It was humor. Dan won't even allow me to get a shock collar for our dog, so it would never happen. It was just something funny. It kind of broke me out of the
seething anger,
like the desire to spank our son again. Just to get that across.
Okay, so let me tell you a story about, so I was a teenager when like somebody I knew had kids, and I remember like being at a place when their kids like went outside without telling them that they were going outside. So they came back inside at some point and their mom was yelling at them, and they're just like, you went outside without telling me, how was I supposed to know where you are, like blah blah blah, blah. Don't you know, like, why don't you go outside without telling me? And they're like, because child molesters might come and steal me and rape me. They're like five, and I'm just like, what?
But still oblivious.
And I was just like, this is what you're telling your right. kids. So I was just like, all right, I'm not going to be that parent.
Right, right. Exactly. And that's what I'm trying to avoid. Like, the extent that I went to was to say they would hurt you.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want to go into detail of how they
but
would
obviously
hurt.
Obviously, it wouldn't matter anyway.
It wouldn't.
This family, their kids still ran, you know, rampant everywhere. They were just like, why can't you go outside without supervision? Because a child molester might steal me. Like, obviously, they don't care. They don't know what those words mean.
I need those people so I can maybe get some words of advice on how to handle Joe. Oh my God.
You're going to laugh when I tell you.
But I was just like, I'm I laugh, but I tell you, when I think about it, it still makes me want to cry because
it's terrifying.
Because I really am trying to push him to be independent. But I'm like, how can I push him to be independent when I can't trust him to not like take off into the woods the minute I look away? So if anybody has advice, I'd really welcome it. Or if anybody else has a kid that way, I really need to know I'm not alone. Apparently I'm not, because Melissa has friends who could repeat verbatim. But so that was my, not really a mom moment, but a mom fail. But like, I guess I'm going to keep failing until I can get it through to them. So we'll right? see.
It's so true.
So
I'm sure it'll hit at some point. I don't know. I wouldn't know exactly how to deal with that either. That'd be rough.
Right. So right. On to our show.
So as I said, today we're going to talk about weird pregnancy side effects.
Yes.
So this is kind of like a funny thing to me because my best friend doesn't have any kids, but her sister has a bunch of kids. So like we would, you know, I'd be going through my pregnancy and I'd be like, this is happening. And she's like, what? Right. Like, it would just be like a funny thing of like the most random stuff that I'm just like, apparently it's a side effect of pregnancy. Who'd have thunk it?
Right.
So it was just always a funny thing to me. So I kind of want to go through like, what side effects did you hear about before pregnancy?
Like morning sickness.
You're going to be tired.
Tired. I mean, really,
that's it.
Like
tender breasts.
I was gonna say, as you go on, like tender breasts, and like towards the end, you have to like pee a lot.
Yep.
And have some like body aches.
Yeah, I would say beyond that, I did not know of anything that would happen. And I'm not talking about like, you know, people who have like gestational diabetes and they have like. Okay, that is like I'm talking about just like normal healthy pregnancy, weird side effects that happen.
I had a side effect that I would have never imagined was a side effect.
Yeah. So the first side effect that I want to talk about is okay, so I had to do when I woke up when I was pregnant, and this is all three pregnancies. My gums bled so bad.
Really?
That I had to, number one, I had to brush my teeth without toothpaste because it would make me vomit.
Yeah.
So I had to brush my teeth with water and my mouth is just filling up with blood. So they say that hormonal changes during pregnancy make your gums bleed. 40% of women develop gingivitis while pregnant. Progesterone is the culprit in developing pregnancy gingivitis, making your gums more susceptible to the damage of plaque.
Is it because it like causes the blood vessels to expand or
probably something to do with the blood vessels? Yeah.
Okay.
So like, I'm not talking about like they have blood a little bit or whatever. I'm talking about like literally like.
Look like your teeth might be falling out, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And the thing is like, I've had so many pregnancies close together that it's just like, cause it happens while I'm breastfeeding too, because a lot of the pregnancy hormones continue while you breastfeed or whatever. So it's just like, I mean, in the last 7 years, it's been like 4 or 5 of the last 7 years I've been pregnant. So it's just like, my gums are garbage. Right. They're just garbage. It's ridiculous. But yeah, bleeding gums was a big one that like, it was like, I went to go get dental work done one time while I was pregnant and they won't give you Novocaine while you're pregnant.
Right.
Which was fine. I mean, it's not a big deal. Like, you can handle a little pain. It's not a big deal, but they had to stop. Cause they're like, your gums are bleeding way too much. Like you obviously have pregnancy gingivitis. I was like,
That's crazy. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Right. It's super weird. Another one is congestion, like excessive congestion. So one of the like early side effects that I always, we're going to get a little graphic, guys. Sorry. For all the men listening, you're going to be grossed out for this one. So once your mucus plug starts forming, your body goes into like hyperactive, like mucus mode, which causes your mucus membranes in your head to produce extra mucus, just like your mucus membranes in other places are producing mucus.
Your body just doesn't overall.
Yeah, it's just like all of the mucus. So like a lot of times, like I would know, like a lot of congestion was one of the early signs that I was pregnant, because my body would go into like crazy mucus production or whatever, and it continues through your whole pregnancy sometimes. So a large percentage of women actually experience this like heavy congestion, which is just, you know, congestion, sneezing, runny nose, but they're only in the first and the third trimester. Sometimes they'll go away for the second.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Mine did not.
Mine did not either. Nope. They stuck around the whole time.
I actually have a story, two stories about that, because from, well, we did IVF. So we did the IVF procedure middle January.
Yes.
March is when my congestion started, and I would cough so hard. And it continued until I was about 7 months along. And at that point, you know, your bladder is getting a little weaker. And so I chose one day driving home from church, I chose to drive home from church and not use the bathroom. And it was a mistake.
Yeah.
So I'm like talking to my brother and I'm like, you know what? I'm so close to home right now, but I have to stop at this gas station because I'm going to wet my pants because I keep coughing and I can't stop coughing and it just makes it worse. The minute I stood up, I couldn't stop anything. And Dan's like, are you kidding me? He wasn't with me. He made fun of me when I got home. And I'm like, do you want to carry this baby, dude?
We're not going to talk about this. You're not allowed to have an opinion.
Right? And then we were in Sam's one day and I got to coughing so hard that I had to buy underwear at Sam's so that I could change myself. So that's when I say I had a really bad symptom. It was my congestion, and it did not go away in the first trimester, after the first trimester.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't either. One of the ones that I feel like now that I've been pregnant, people talk about a lot is heartburn, but they only said like, oh, if your baby is going to have a lot of hair, it's heartburn. It's like an old wives' tale. But like for John, if I ate anything like intentionally or unintentionally that had green peppers in it, as soon as it hit my stomach, I would have heartburn for like ever, for like 12 hours. Like, I love green peppers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, it was the worst. Like if I unintentionally ate something, I would be like, it would kill me for hours.
Like not able to sleep.
Not able to sleep.
Sounds like we had similar symptoms. I didn't get mine until it was like after the congestion, I started getting the heartburn. And the only thing that solved it was eating pickles, believe it or not.
Yeah, that is weird. It must have been like the vinegar, like the base or whatever.
Yeah, it's actually a natural remedy thing. And I mean, it doesn't work now. Ironically, if I get heartburn, I can eat all the pickles I want and doesn't solve it. But during pregnancy,
I did it. See, I ate those like because I hate Tums. They're disgusting to me.
Mm-hmm.
They were when I was pregnant, dude, like eating chalk. So like I used to have those Tums smoothies because they dissolve faster. Like Mike would buy the giant bottles and the lid would even be off of them, like on our nightstand. And I would just like wake up how many times in the middle of the night just eating them. It was ridiculous. It was like the heartburn during pregnancy. I don't know why people don't talk about it more, because it was like ridiculous.
It is super ridiculous. I don't disagree, because it's like you said, it's like simple things that you would normally eat. All of a sudden you have heartburn for it. And it's like, so I just can't eat anymore?
Listen, I'm going to eat. Right. We're going to figure this out. Right.
Look, little man.
I'm hungry.
I'm making a lot of changes in my life for you.
All right, so we'll get back to more after this short break. All right, so we're back. Okay, let's talk restless leg syndrome.
Okay.
Did you have restless leg syndrome?
I have to tell you, I did not have it while I was pregnant, but I have it now, and it drives me nuts.
Okay, so restless legs syndrome is, like, basically causes you to want to move your legs. So it's like sometimes they're itchy or burning or, like, pulling or, like, uncomfortable or just, like, I don't know, like, makes you want to wiggle or, like,
I was going to say, I wouldn't say that they burn or anything like that. It's just, like, they have that feeling like they need to be moving.
Yeah.
It's like, it's 2 a.m.
Right?
The only thing I'm going to move right now is my eyes to go back to sleep.
Right? And they say, like, it's a lack of folic acid or iron.
Okay.
I feel like that should be taken care of with the pregnancy vitamin.
Right.
The
huge, gross.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, can't you just flavor it with grape or something? I mean, help a sister out. It's bad enough we got to swallow this huge pill and then it tastes like puke too.
They smell weird too.
They do.
I'm just like, I'm pregnant and these smell like vomit.
Right. You want me to shove this thing in my mouth and swallow it and it's just all over bad. Yeah.
No, I agree with you. But restless leg syndrome was like, I remember just like I would come home from work and I would sit down and like my legs would just want to move. And I'm just like, I cannot handle this.
Right. Well, it's almost irritating because like the rest of your body is tired.
Yeah.
And but your legs are like, oh, you need to get up and do something else. And I'm like, well, do I have two halves of a body right now? Something is not translating.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So let's talk about skin tags. So skin tags are a small piece of skin that hangs from the body that typically appears on the neck, underarms, underbreasts, and in the groin due to friction. They say that this is because of weight gain.
Quick weight gain. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me tell you, like, I have had skin tags show up in, like, the most ridiculous places while I'm pregnant. Like, I don't know what sort of friction happens on my face.
Right.
But I'm just like,
there is no friction right here. I don't know what I'm rubbing against that much.
No. And it's like, I mean, I'm a beast. I'll just tear them off. I'm not gonna lie. And then the other day somebody was like, you can just get those like patches that you just put on them and they go away. And I was like, what?
Dan tears them off too.
I'm 31. I didn't know that you could just stick a band-aid on it and it'll go away after it dries up.
I guess they probably treat it like a wart. Those wart patches
it's
or something.
The worst. I hate it.
I do hate them. I've never had them on my face though. That would be horrid because they're annoying.
Yeah,
they're super annoying.
It's the worst, and I'm just like, this gross thing. Like I am. So I have like, I have two moles on my body that I don't love. And like I have a few like tags, but they're not like super crazy. But like for whatever reason, when I'm pregnant, it's just like they just pop up everywhere, and I'm like, listen, I'm fat on the regular. I don't know why being pregnant is my body's like, this is unusual. It's not unusual.
Right. It's not unusual. You're just doing this to make me more miserable.
Right. one of the ones that, like, I don't know why nobody told me about, but was, like, I guess maybe should have been, like, logical, is the shortness of breath. Just from, like, the added weight.
Right.
And shape, I guess. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, for 2 out of my 3 pregnancies, I worked retail. I was managing a gas station. And putting my shoes on and my socks on was like an Olympic style huff and puff session. Just to get down to my feet.
I stopped even wearing socks and shoes. I just put on, because it was summertime, so I just wore flip-flops.
I was like, but I had to have my feet covered.
Yeah.
Because I was working like, right. in retail. I had to have my feet covered. Mm-hmm. It was the worst. I would have loved to not have to wear shoes.
I will say my boss, the pastor, was not a fan of it, but I'm like,
listen, I'm the size of a house.
Right.
You're lucky I came into work today.
Right, right. I get the feet thing and the huffing. I will say that there were times where I would walk up the steps of the church and people would, are you okay? Look. You see this? This is only 7 months right now. It's still going to get bigger. He's literally taking my breath away right now. You would, again, along with the heartburn, because it's not uncommon that I hear
right
pregnant moms talking about that now, but you would think that that's something that moms would talk about.
But it's not.
It's not.
I mean, I hear everybody talk about it now, but mm-hmm. like when people, they're just like, oh, like stereotypically you hear you're tired, you're sick.
The morning sickness. Yep. And the peeing a lot.
That's it. I mean, I don't know why all of these are like best kept secrets.
No.
It's going to be a surprise, guys. Right.
Surprise.
When I remember my mom was just like, honestly, I don't really remember my pregnancies that much. All she's like, I loved being pregnant. I hated being pregnant. I'm not in love. Okay. You know what I love about being pregnant? I get to eat. I don't care if I gain weight.
Right. I hated pregnancy for the fact that people asked me all the time what was I going to give up when becoming a mom? And that question irritated me so much. And the fact that people come up to you, look at you, you're as big of as a house. You're gonna pop soon. 7 months. I've still got 2 months to go. I'm not popping anytime soon.
Yeah.
So I mean,
I hate it when I would get upset and people would be like, you're just,
yeah.
I'd be like, so if I punch you, well, right. would I get away with it because I'm pregnant?
Are you not going to file charges because I'm pregnant? Yeah. No, I hated that too because I had people say that to me as well. And so I think that I hated it. I hated how people treat you like you're weak or something. Like
you're crazy.
You're still making me set this table up on my own, so you obviously don't think I'm that weak. Jerks. So
true. Another one of the ones that I had a lot of was gas.
I don't remember that one.
So I had like so much gas when I was pregnant. It was ridiculous. It was like so excessive. It didn't matter what I ate. It was like ridiculous. I hated it. It was just like, so not only am I as big as a house, but also I'm just farting all of the time.
With heartburn after you eat.
With heartburn.
And skin tags growing. Right? That's it. While your teeth bleed.
Right?
Those are some awful pregnancy symptoms. I did not have that many symptoms.
Right?
I had it pretty easy, I guess.
So another one that I had a lot of was round ligament pain. So did you have that?
That's like the hips and joints, right?
Yeah. So basically it's like, so round ligament pain.
It's when that you're like, your hips are expanding.
Yeah.
To prepare.
So it's when the round ligaments that are supporting your uterus, like, okay, so this is what I would prepare to. Okay, I could never just like turn my hips. Mm-hmm. I had to like keep my hips straight, basically,
and turn your whole body,
turn my entire body, lest you have the worst shooting pain go all the way down to your feet and all the way up to the top of your head.
I did not have this consistently, but there were a couple of times probably closer to the end where and it's that again is breathtaking. It's yes. like I'm gonna die right here.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is like with John, it wasn't as bad, but as I got pregnant more times, it started right away. Because my muscles were just like, we're used to this. This is
right.
You know,
we know what's going on now.
But I'm telling you, like, I remember just like sometimes I would like lay on the couch and I would just like even shifting my body a little bit and it would just be like horrendous.
Yeah.
It was the worst. Oh, round ligament pain, man. If you're pregnant right now and you have round ligament pain, my thoughts and prayers are with you.
She honestly, you should see her face. Like, she's feeling it right now.
I just remember thinking, like, if this is what pregnancy feels like, what is childbirth could be? What did I get myself into?
I don't want to do this anymore.
This is a bad idea.
I quit.
I did have that moment while I was pushing John out and I was just like, I can't do it. Mike's like, he's like standing in my head. He's like, it's a little late now. And I'm just, while I'm pushing a baby out.
Right. Shut up. Do what I want.
I did not yell at my husband. I did freak out on a nurse during labor one time though.
Did you?
She was supposed to be holding my knee and like, apparently I was too strong. And she's like, it's too hard to hold your knee and you didn't shave your legs today. It came out of her mouth while I was like pushing a baby out, and I was just like, I didn't even care. I don't know what I said to her, but you can imagine what I said.
Do you know, because I had to go in for an emergency C-section. I mean, it wasn't really an emergency. They didn't do it till like 5:30 at night, and I checked in at like 10 a.m. But when they were doing like the prep and stuff, I said to them, I'm like, I really apologize. Like, nothing is taken care of. My legs are hairy. It's just, and the one nurse smiled at me and she says, so are mine. You just can't see them. So I liked her.
We can be friends.
Right. Right. I probably would have flipped out on that nurse as well.
She already wasn't holding my leg and it was a whole thing already. So I was just like, go away. I'll do it myself. So I'm like, pushing out a baby while like clutching my knee to my chest, like trying to push out this baby. I was like,
yeah,
useless human. I mean, I do appreciate like labor and delivery nurses. Some of them are like rock stars,
super amazing,
and some of them are not.
Yeah, I think I've already told my story of my not nurse.
Just had it in your head.
Like, it makes me want to twitch every time I think about that story. If you've not listened to it. It was terrible.
It's on the breastfeeding episode.
Is that okay?
Yeah
okay. Yeah. She has a much better memory than I do.
Because I'm younger.
She's gonna get karma back at her. She said that to me last week, and it came back at her.
That's true.
But. I feel like she just gonna say to me randomly now that she really realizes the difference in our age, just to see if she can.
It's little nuggets of joy for
me. Just as her little poke to get at me. I'm really not affected by it though, because I'm not that person that with my age, I'm not like, oh my god, I'm so old, I just can't do life anymore, I'm near death.
Yeah.
I'm 45, I've got a lot of life to live still.
But I feel like the better mindset to have.
Right.
I feel like I'm going to be that way in my 40s. Because, like, I mean, I make jokes that, like, I hate being 30 or whatever. But, like, listen, I got all my life together in my 20s. My 30s are going to, like, rock.
Right.
Like, I am super excited. Like, listen, we're getting new windows in our house.
I'm being the adultiest adult ever.
I am just living my best life with new windows.
And that, my friends and children, is what being an adult is all about.
I might get a new vacuum cleaner. It's like rock star adulting.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, excuse me. She got me going.
All right. Is there any other... weird side effects that you wanted to go over.
No, I don't. I mean, you touched on them, like the heartburn and the congestion were my worst. I mean, I would say the congestion was really the hardest for me just because it would make me cough. And at one point my doctor, I mean, it would make me cough so hard to the point of like vomiting.
Yep.
And my doctor was like, well, here, I have some anti-vomiting pills for you. And I took like a couple, and then I read like the side effects that it could have on your baby. And I'm like, I guess I'll just vomit. I mean, and I even call them. I'm like, well, hey, why are you prescribing this if it has these like possible side effects? Well, we figure that the risks out or the
benefits
outweigh the risks. And I'm like, I'm just going to vomit. Thanks, though.
I appreciate your doctoring.
Believe it or not, what the thing that helped me the most when I was able to get symptoms to lessen, Brittany and Ray had me come over to their house one night after church, and they gave me a spoonful of honey with a drop of thieves oil on it, and like that helped me so much. And actually, they say raw honey is one of, or even if you can get local fresh honey, is one of the best natural remedies for like your allergies and things like that. But it didn't stop like the congestion, but it helped reduce the amount of coughing and hacking and everything else that I did.
Wow.
Yeah. Ray and Brittany to the rescue again.
Listen, they gave me some soap a couple of weeks ago, and I was like super like you're giving me your hippy dippy soap. Right now. But like, it is such good soap.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't even want to ask what the name of the people who make this soap.
I think it's a small business that makes it. Yeah.
So, all right. So let's go into our recommendations now that we're talking about soap. Right. So, my recommendation for this week. So like back in the day, I say back in the day, it was a long time. When I was like 18, like I went and played bingo at the casino like all the time. Like we went all the time because it was just like fun. It was a thing to do, whatever. So we had like a lot of bingo blotters. And last week I was like moving things around and I found like a bunch of bingo blotters. Let me tell you.
I condone this activity, I'm just going to say.
You ever want to get your kids
excited about life?
Excited about life. And think you are like the most magical human in the world? Get some bingo blotters.
No, and I will say this, because I was buying just the bingo blotters at the Dollar Tree store, because, you know, it was a dollar. But Joe is very free with where he flings all that at. So they do have washable blotters that you can buy on Amazon.
Yes.
Yes.
And those are the ones that I have because we used to buy the ones like at the casino.
Yeah.
So you get the washable ones because they do like, they do drip a little bit, but like, I mean, my life is just a mess. So right. I'll wash up some bingo blotter. But like, seriously, they are the best thing in the world.
They are. And I will even add on to this and tell you that Joe's favorite thing is to do like the pictures that have the circles. Yes. And you can find those. I mean, you go to Pinterest or Google and write
them out.
You type in free duodot and yes, I can't even talk right now. I'm so excited about your recommendation because it really is one of Joe's favorite things to do.
Have never thought to give them to him.
Yeah. Did John enjoy it as well?
Oh, yeah.
Because he can almost paint with them too.
Yeah.
So that's.
Yeah. So John would put them on the paper until they made a puddle, and then he would take his fingers and like make breaded designs with the puddles.
Yeah.
And then he would wait for that puddle, like that level of puddles to dry. And then he would do the next level. So it was kind of like a layering effect of the bingo bladder. I'm rolling my eyes, just so you know.
I think it's very creative.
I love my child, guys. I do. It's just sometimes he does stuff. I'm like, you're so extra. And Malcolm's just sitting there, like, trying to kill the paper with the bingo blotter. And I'm just like, what? Just how did this happen?
The next time John comes over, which I think is going to be very soon, I actually have an art activity that I'm going to do with him. I'm not going to let anybody else do. Because
he doesn't like structure, just so you know. So
that's okay. Well, that's what I liked about this. I tried doing it with Joel, and I'll say what it was is I took in mixed paint to water it down.
Yeah.
And then you take straws on your canvas or your paper or whatever, and you drip paint on there, and then you blow it all around to make your art. And Joe was not into that, and I was sorely disappointed. That I had to do this art craft all by myself, and here I am, just the old lame mom doing an art craft by herself. So.
And Joe was like, this is a little too extra.
Right, yeah. He's like,
it's so cool.
He did like two things, and then he's like, okay, I'm done. Can I go play with Daddy now? And I'm like, no! No, you can't! I just mixed all these paints so we could have fun together.
Bingo blotters, guys.
Bingo blotters. All right.
We'll have a link for some good ones on our Amazon affiliate store.
Yeah. I do love that craft, and that is something Joe does love. So my recommendation for this week is a book. I actually listened to it on audio, but I'm sure it makes a good book to read as well. But it's You Are the Girl for the Job by Jess Connolly.
That sounds like something I would love.
So she was or is, I think she is currently a pastor's wife.
Okay.
It's just a lot of talking about believing in yourself, and God made you to be this type of a person. And there are always going to be people in your life to kind of knock you down or tell you that you can't do this or you can't do that, but that God created you to do something very specific in your life, and he's given you the abilities to do it. And it's just a very good book if you just need a reminder or maybe just a pat on the shoulder to say, hey, you're okay. Because I feel like a lot of times women are attacked for stepping up into their purpose and their abilities. I mean, I'm not a big bra burner, but I do believe that women are meant for more than just birthing babies and taking care of them.
I'm
gonna clap. So I do firmly believe that. And I've mentioned before, I went through a little bit of an identity crisis thing with after having Joe, just trying to figure out really what, and I wouldn't even say I'm 100% where I need to be, but this book really helped me with, you know what? God has so much more in store for me than what I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. And I need to stop being afraid because people said this or said that about me. And I need to stop letting people dictate where my life goes. And I need to step back into that purpose that God has for me.
Mm-hmm. So I was actually, I'm going to piggyback off yours. So I was actually in a meeting with some spiritual authority people in my life, and I was just like, you know, I'm moving into like a leadership position or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I said, like, I'm a little concerned, you know, because I can be blunt. I don't know if you guys know noticed or not, but I can be kind of blunt. I was like, I can be kind of blunt and, you know, rough around the edges or whatever. You know, I don't try to be rude, but sometimes, you know, I get offended by people. And they were like, you know what I think about that? I think that God made us the way that we are to serve a certain purpose. And I don't think that you not being blunt and outspoken was what God would want, because why would he make you that way if he wanted you to just not use it?
Now, mind you, these are different leaders than what we've had in our lives. So yeah. To hear that is really a good feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I thought that would give you the good feels.
Yeah, I like that.
So say the book again.
It was You Are the Girl for the Job by Jess Connelly. So it was, I really enjoyed it. It was a good book.
Yeah, I'll probably read it. It sounds like it's good.
Yeah.
I am Messy Pun Mamas.
This is Messy Fun Mamas Podcast.
This is Messy Poop.
Messy Buns, you silly.
Thank you for joining us for the Messy Bun Mamas podcast. If you can't wait to talk to us more, then hit us up on social media. We are on Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Messy Bun Mamas podcast.
You can also reach out to us on our website at www.messybunmamaspodcast.com or email us at messybunmamaspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.